Good morning. If you'd open up your Bibles, our scripture reading passage this morning is Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans 8, verses 26 and 27. Speaking of our victory in Christ, it says, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You for this opportunity we have this morning. We thank You for communion and just the time to reflect on Your precious gift of salvation. Thank You, Lord, for what You have done for us. Lord, I just pray for the blessing of the reading of Your Word. Lord, and just be with Pastor Craig as he delivers the message to us this morning. I pray that You would open up our hearts and our minds, and Lord, that You would teach us from Your Word this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, John. The victory that we have. Chapter 8 is just a wonderful, wonderful chapter. I as you've noticed, we've been spending quite a bit of time in Chapter 8. In fact, Lord willing, we've got about two more messages yet after today that we're going to continue in Chapter 8. But we noted last week that there will be suffering in this life. All suffering is a result of sin. All of our trials, all of our sickness, all of suffering, it's all a result of sin. And still being in this life, we, even as God's children, will suffer the consequences not only of our own sin, but the sins of the world. And we noted that as a result of suffering, both creation, this is something we looked at last week, both creation and believers groan with anticipation of that suffering's end. But in the meantime, the hope of that end is actually something that helps us endure. Well, this morning, alongside of that hope being the thing we looked at last week, alongside that we have help. Help in our weaknesses. Years ago, I finished the basement of my home, and I never dreamed I'd get this many illustrations out of that one project, because I know I've talked to you about that. In fact, this particular story, I think I've shared with a couple of you before. But this was my first attempt ever in many of the aspects of construction. But the biggest problem, the absolute biggest problem I had in that project was the taping of sheetrock. I've learned to love to hate that. I don't mind putting the sheetrock up there, but when it comes to taping the joints and making it all look nice, I had a difficult time. And my dad came over once. He had done a little bit. And he spent like 5 minutes just showing me quickly how to do it. And then I was on my own. I had read some books and stuff like that. And I started in the very smallest room in the basement. It was a tiny little bathroom that we built down there. And I started in there. And 8 hours later, I was halfway done with the bathroom. Okay? And there's no way. I can't do this. I don't get it. I don't get it. I was doing something wrong, I knew, and I understood that I needed some help. Well, I had a friend who used to tape for a living years earlier, and I only learned about his previous career as I was sharing with him my frustration, my ignorance, my inability to do this. And so I asked him for some help. Well, he had all of the tools, and as he got there, I said, "Okay, buddy, you're in charge. You just tell me what to do, and I'll do it." And he says, "Yeah, just get out of the way. Just get out of the way." And he went to work, And in about 4 hours' time, he had finished the entire rest of the basement. He had done it. And it looked wonderfully. And I found out later that the tool that he had was called a bazooka. All right, and I learned why. While everything was taped wonderfully, it looked like a war zone in my basement. But anyway, that has nothing to do with the illustration. But I needed help. I needed help desperately. In fact, he came in and he ended up doing it for me, and it was fantastic. Well, in a similar way, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. He helps in our trouble and our suffering. And just like we have hope to help us endure that suffering, we are also given help. Today we find the details surrounding that help in the midst of suffering. And that's our topic this morning, our help from Romans chapter 8. And we're only going to be looking at two verses this morning, verses 26 and 27. And verse 26 begins by saying likewise. Single word there. Likewise, or your translation might read in the same way or in the same manner. And we have to ask, well, in the same manner as what? In the same way as what? Well, in the same way that we have hope to help us through or to get us through, to help us endure, we also have help to get us through the sufferings of this life. And our help comes, first of all, this morning, because of our weaknesses. It comes, first of all, because of our weaknesses. That's our detail. That's our first detail here. Let me read to you just the beginning of verse 26. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. Our help comes because of our weaknesses. It comes because we have a need. What's interesting about this word weakness that's used in this passage is that it's all-encompassing. Okay? Unlike my need only in the area of taping sheetrock, we as believers don't just have a need in one area of life. We need help in all areas of our life. Weakness refers to our human condition in general. And for those of you who are looking ahead in the passage, you might be saying, well, the passage is describing our prayer life. So it does seem to be pointing to prayer as the area of weakness, the area that we need help, not all areas. Well, let me ask you this. Which areas of life do we pray about? Hopefully, all of them. Hopefully, all of them. And this is where the help comes in. We are weak in all areas. And the Spirit of God is our help in all areas. And one of the ways He helps is through praying and interceding for us concerning our human condition. Why? Well, verse 26 continues on. It says, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Now, this is not saying that we ought to know what to pray for. It's saying that we don't know what nor how to pray sometimes. This small statement actually reveals two huge weaknesses in our prayers. The first one is ignorance. Oftentimes, we don't know what to pray for. We haven't got a clue. We think we know what we need. We don't. We don't. Ignorance. We don't know what to pray for because of our imperfect and tainted perspective of life. Because of our finite way of thinking, because of our human condition and spiritual shortcomings, it is difficult for us to pray in perfect consistency with God's will. In fact, the only prayer that we can truly pray that is in perfect consistency with God's will is God's Word. And we can even mess that up sometimes because we're praying with the wrong motive. we're praying in with a motive that is different from God's. Ignorance is a weakness. And then there is inability. Inability. Oftentimes, we just don't know how to pray. We recognize the fact that we need something. But I don't even know. I don't even know how to pray in this. You see, anybody can say words, even eloquent words. Even the unbeliever can say words and call them a prayer. But to actually pray, I believe, requires the Spirit's help. The Holy Spirit can and does put us in tune with the will of God. We can know the will of God in our lives, but then our inability gets in the way. So expressing our request is beyond what we're able to do. Lord, I don't know the words to express what I need right now. That's our inability. Suffering can do that. Sin can do that. And we groan inside as we seek God's help. That is our weakness, but our passage tells us that the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. And just before we move on here, I want to pause on that word help for a minute, because it tells us a lot about what kind of help we're actually getting from the Holy Spirit. First of all, the Spirit's help is consistent. In fact, the word help in this passage is a word that begins but continues. It's something that happens but continues on. Not just continuing effect, but it continues. It's in the present tense. The Spirit helps and will keep on helping. And then also, along with the Spirit's help being consistent, the Spirit's help is concrete. This particular word, believe it or not, is only used one other place in all of Scripture. Okay? And it reveals, that one other place reveals precisely what kind of help the Spirit gives. It's in Luke chapter 10, verse 40, where it records Jesus at the home of Mary and Martha. And while Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to her teacher, Martha is in the kitchen doing everything herself to prepare a meal. And she's getting angry. She's in there banging pots and pans around, wondering why she isn't getting any help. Finally comes out to the Lord and says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And while there's an entirely different story that we could draw from, or lesson we could draw from that verse, it does describe the concrete, real, effectual, coming alongside to literally help us. Because of our weakness, the Spirit of God comes alongside of us and does for us what we cannot do ourselves. It's a real, concrete, effectual help. So, the Spirit helps because of our weakness. But secondly, this morning, help comes through the Spirit's work. It comes through the Spirit's work. It is done by Him. Look at the last part of verse 26. It says, "But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." A little over a year ago, I got for Janine a huge, beautiful, solid oak armoire. It was something that she had wanted and needed for some time. And armoire, I know how to say it, I don't know how to spell it. I've got it in my notes, A-R-M-W-A-H, armoire. But anyway, it was something that she had wanted. In fact, she had some really specific things that she wanted in this armoire. So I had it custom built, and it was my dad that built it. He's got that kind of expertise. I don't. He's got a shop. I don't. He's got tools. I don't. He's retired. He's got time. I don't. So he built this thing, and it was beautiful. It was gorgeous. But the neat thing about it is he did all the work. We got all the reward. That's what happens with the Spirit. The Spirit does this for us. In the area of prayer, the help that the Spirit gives is oh so much more than just advice. It's oh so much more. While he does come alongside us, it's oh so much more than just helping us do something. He does it for us in this case. We've already seen our ignorance and inability in doing things. So the Spirit himself does it for us in our stead as our advocate. Does that remind you of someone else we read about in the Scriptures? Jesus, right? In Romans 8:3, it says, "For what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin." He did that for us as our advocate, as our help. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." And then listen to what Jesus said in John 14:16. And this is prior to the crucifixion, prior to his ascension. And he's saying this to his disciples. He said, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Another like me, okay? The Holy Spirit. "And he will abide with you forever." How does the Spirit work and help us? Well, first of all, the Spirit himself intercedes for us. Our passage cannot make this any more specific. The one and only Holy Spirit of God himself intercedes on our behalf, in our stead. The word intercession, like the word help, talks about an action that continues on. He's interceding for us. But even more than that, he's doing it on our behalf. It's more than just helping someone do something. It's literally and consistently doing it for them because they can't. Who better to speak to God on our behalf than God? The Spirit himself intercedes on our behalf, and the Spirit himself groans for us. We've already seen last Sunday in the previous verses that creation groans with anticipation of man's ultimate redemption. We have seen that in this world of suffering, believers groan for that same thing. And now in our stead and in the midst of our suffering, the Holy Spirit even groans with anticipation as he intercedes for us. Two facts about this groaning on our behalf. First of all, it is the Spirit that does it, not us. It is the Spirit that does it, not us, okay? Not believers. Again, our passage has already talked about the groans of creation and believers. And now here we learn that the Spirit of God groans as well as he intercedes for us. Some have attempted to use this verse in reference to the believer speaking in tongues or a strange language or utterances by the power of the Spirit. But we've already seen that it is our weakness. It is our weakness that keeps us from being involved in this. And it is the Spirit all by himself that does it. It is the Spirit that does it, not believers. And it is unexpressed, not spoken. Unexpressed, not spoken. In fact, the Greek transliteration of the end of this verse says, "The Spirit intercedes on our behalf with groanings unexpressed." Your translation might read too deep for words, or that words cannot express. So this intercession is the Spirit doing this on our behalf. It's done by him, not man. And it's unexpressed and unspoken and therefore cannot even be heard or spoken by man. This right here, this is the third person of the Godhead communicating with the first person of the Godhead through a means that is only of God. And we're going to find in a minute that it's because God already knows the mind of the Spirit. And there is no need for expression of it. But this is what the Spirit does for us. This is who indwells us as believers. He does this on our behalf. He does what we cannot do for ourselves. For believers, help comes because of our weakness. It comes through the Spirit's work. And then finally this morning, help comes according to God's will. It comes according to God's will. Look at verse 27. It says, "Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." Here we find the perfect harmony between the needs of the saints, the Spirit's interceding requests, and the will of God. Perfect harmony between these three things. At home, I have set up a computer network where all of our computers can communicate with one another. And the reason that happens is because it all goes through a router, a central hub. If it weren't for that central hub, it would never happen. It has to be that hub, that router in the center of everything. All information goes through that one central point. That's the reason for harmony within my home network. Well, in a similar way, our passage is describing the same kind of harmony. How can there be such harmony between the needs of the saints, the intercession of the Spirit, and the will of God? Well, it's because God is at the center of it all. He is the hub. He is the central focal point. You see, first of all, God searches the saint's heart. He searches the saint's heart. Saints in the Bible are all those who have trusted in Jesus Christ for salvation. And we are told that he, God, searches our hearts. He examines them. He doesn't look so much at the exterior. He looks at the heart of man and examines who he is and what his needs really are. In fact, 1 Samuel 16:7, it says, "The Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks. He looks at our heart." You see, God knows who we are better than anyone else. God knows who we are better than we know ourselves. And I got to tell you, sometimes we get hung up on this. We think we know what we need better than God. God knows us better than we know ourselves, and he knows what we need better than we know what we need. God searches the saint's heart. Secondly, God knows the Spirit's mind. The communication between the first and or the third and first person of the Godhead is unexpressible because it doesn't need to be expressed. God knows the mind of the Spirit. I'm sure you've all seen movies or TV shows where there's the spy who is infiltrating the enemy's phone lines, and he finds the lines and he peels a little bit of the insulation back. He ties in some wires and he can hear everything that's going on both ways. We'll take that a step further a minute. Let's say you took some wires and you spliced into my spinal column and then spliced into your spinal column. And every time I thought about raising my arm, your arm went up. Or if I thought a thought, immediately the idea is there. Well, that is the kind of connection between the Spirit of God and God himself, the first and third person of the Godhead. God already knows the mind of the Spirit. Therefore, God receives the Spirit's request. The mind of the Spirit is in perfect harmony with the mind of God and the needs of the saints. It would be like me thinking, you know, I would love it if Bob Deal would play piano before and after service, just to kind of set the tone for worship before and throughout the week. And I'm thinking this to myself. And in that same instant, Bob says to me, he says, you know, I've been thinking, would it be all right if I played piano before and after service, you know, just to set the mood for worship throughout the week, for today and throughout the week? And I would say, that's brilliant. That is an excellent idea. Do it. Do it. That is the mind of God. That's the mind of God. That is why God receives the Spirit's request. The request is exactly in accord with God's will and thinking already. Help comes according to God's will. It comes because of our weaknesses. It comes through the Spirit's work and in accord with the will of God. Think about this for a minute in closing. God knows exactly and precisely what we need better than we do. And there will come times in our life when we're hurting, when we are suffering, when we are going through something that we don't know the end of, and perhaps we may not even care at this point in time. But God does. God knows the end. He knows exactly what we need. And what's kind of scary in all this is sometimes in our stubbornness, in our arrogance, we want to go one way. God wants us to go another way. And in order for God to actually fill our need and give us what is best, He will allow us to crash. He will allow us to go down a bad road to the point where we come to a dead end and there is no other place to turn but God. And that's okay. That is God. In fact, I'm convinced that sometimes as the Spirit intercedes on our behalf, He might well be praying for a crash in our life. God knows our needs. He knows what we need through our suffering, so much so that as we're suffering, we may not even know what or how to pray. And in that instant, God is looking down on us and He's saying, I know exactly. I know exactly what they need, and I would love nothing more than to fulfill that for them perfectly right now. And in that instant, the Holy Spirit within us intercedes because we can't and requests exactly what is best for us right now. Exactly what God desires to give us. And we get it. God receives the Spirit's request because it's in perfect harmony with His will. One commentator said this of verse 27. As you maybe read it again later, you'll kind of see where he got this. But he said this. He says, it almost seems unnecessary because we're looking into the mind of God here. Okay? And from our perspective, the human perspective, all we see is what's taking place in our life and around us. We may even see bad things, good things happening, and we just see the results. We see it from our perspective. And it isn't until years later when we look at the good and bad things that we went through that we see the will of God in it. Okay, so he says it's almost useless for us because what do we do with God's perspective? Well, it isn't useless. I with all Scripture, it is there for a very definite reason, and here is why I think it's there. And by the way, this commentator was just ranting. Okay, he knew it was there for a purpose as well, but I think it's there for three reasons. Number one, to show us just how weak we are. to show us just how weak we are. We need help more than we would like to admit sometimes. Secondly, to show us how strong the Spirit is. He is God strong. God strong. And then thirdly, to show us why our help will always be perfect help. It will always be for our good and God's glory. Whatever the Lord is allowing us to go through right now, okay? Whatever God allows to happen is for our good and His glory. And we need to be in tune with that. In fact, that leads us to verse 28. I'm just going to read it to you and then we'll close in prayer. But Lord willing, this is where we're going to pick things up next week. He says, "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose." Let's close in prayer this morning. Father God, we thank You for examining our hearts. We thank You for knowing what's going on in our mind right now and what our true motives are right now. So that You in Your gracious power, in Your infinite love, can direct us to be in step with Your will again. Lord, forgive us for those times that we do what we want to do. But Lord, in that we also thank You. Thank You, thank You for that indwelling Spirit who intercedes for us, that is in close connection, perfect connection to the will of God. And Lord, You can work it all out for our good and Your glory. And we thank You for that in Jesus' name this morning. Amen.